Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order at 7:31 p.m. And I'm going to appoint Kawan Gordon for Arlene Fiano. Steve Clark for Jeremy Flick. And Tom Crockett for Jeff Scala. And I think that should give us a full group. Okay, the first order of business is the approval of minutes. It's the May 10th meeting.
I make a motion that the minutes are approved.
Jim Cropley, I second that.
Did Tom Crockett make the motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hearing no other changes, I will call the roll. Tom Robbins, aye. Jim Cropley,
aye.
Kawan Gordon,
aye.
Tom Crockett,
aye.
The chair votes aye, and Steve Clark, I have him down as absent. Aye. So you'll have to abstain, and Rodney abstains.
So it's 5 in favor, none opposed, 2 abstentions.
Correct. Residence forum. We don't have any residents unless. There's Andrew. Andrew Lodiga, did you want to say anything about something that's not on the agenda?
No, I'm okay, but thank you very much, Tom.
Okay. So that means we are in staff reports.
I'll start. Had a busy month. Been working on the trail request form for DEP for the trail connection from 271 Hop River Road gas station convenience store to the trail. Been working on that with our wetlands officer, Cameron Coverell. Mike and I and some other staff met with a landowner yesterday regarding a conservation subdivision, and you will probably be seeing that, I would say, late summer. We also met with Andrew Lodiga yesterday on some ideas he has for his property, and sent him with some homework to do, and so we'll see what he comes up with. I met with Capital Region Council of Governments on a stakeholder meeting, which is basically them taking the temperature of the town to see what sort of things we think that CROG could help us with. Jim Rupert was in on that meeting with me, and we've met with them before. So this was sort of a follow-up.
What did you tell them they could help us with?
Well, they were interested in pursuing things like, you know, maybe a building official position that could be shared among towns or fill in when there's a building official absence. Could they do something similar to that with the planning position? What sort of economic development type things was the town embarking on? And we discussed Connecticut's countryside and what's been going on there. It was more of them sort of asking us what we're doing and then seeing how that fit. They're supposed to be coming out with some kind of draft report that we'll all get a chance to review. And I will share that with the commission when it comes out. If you don't find out about it on the planning, regional planning end anyway, but I don't know when that report will be coming out. It's probably, I would imagine, the end of the year. If there's anything you'd like me to share with them, I'd be happy to do that. If you feel like there's something that they could help us with that maybe we didn't talk about, I'm happy to do that.
Well, things that come to mind are some things we've talked about before, especially with affordable housing. How do we get water? How do we get a water system over in the Notch area? Same way we have sewers. How do we get the restrictions on the sewers lifted? How do we get that changed? Those are some things they could help us with.
Those are things that I know we've talked with CROG about, but I'm not sure that's in CROG's in their ability to change anything like that. I know the restrictions on the sewer comes from the federal grant that was given to us, so that's probably something that's out of their hands.
Maybe they know the right people to talk to.
They might. I mean, they do know that we have had that struggle. They do know about the housing plan that we had come in and did not come to any fruition. So, but I'll take it down and ask for sure. Anything else?
It's all for me right now.
The other thing is, I was asked about the codification, Tom, you had asked. Mike and I talked with Jim and Liz Waters, who's the town clerk. It seems like everything has been gone through except for the charter, because the charter was changed mid progress of the codification. So they're working on that. Mike suggested that maybe there's a way for them to get everything else done and up live and then just do the charter as an addendum. So they're looking into that. I mean, certainly would help us all. There will be a point where whatever the changes are will come in a packet that the have to go through public hearing, that the commission will look at, and we'll have a public hearing on the changes to the zoning and the subdivision regulations. They're more grammatical and things that point toward the correct regulation as opposed to pointing to something that either doesn't exist anymore or whatever. But it's more of that type of changes as opposed to anything really substantive. I did send them over the most recent zoning regulation amendment that you passed last month on cannabis. So that will be included when they codify the changes. Go ahead.
I know in some municipalities, when I go and look for the land use regulations, it goes to a separate website where you're reading, and it's some kind of codex thing, as opposed to downloading a PDF. Is that what's going to happen here?
I believe, yeah. Mike's shaking his head. I believe so.
Okay.
But it'll be, so right now, if you go on to the zoning regulations on the town's website, it's like 16 chapters or whatever, and they're all separate. So you can't open up the whole thing at once. You can only open it up chapter by chapter. It's very difficult to search. I've searched for terms I know are in there and it doesn't find it. So this should be a lot easier. You should be able to search for things. You should be able to go from section to section. And I think they're even linked, right, Mike? When it refers to a section and you click on that thing, it'll take you to the link that it's talking about. So it should be much more user-friendly.
The codifier that the town is using is General Code, which is a subset of the ICC. So they have like 60 towns in Connecticut that they manage and publish all of the code documents for, but they're the same organization that does all the national building code stuff.
Thank you.
That's all I have, unless there's questions.
Only thing I would add, Patrice had mentioned that we met with a few people. I don't know if you mentioned we met yesterday as well with someone who's considering potentially a conservation subdivision application. We have been, or I've been just sort of continuing to crank through some of the enforcement stuff. Nothing hot button or anything that feels like it's going to rise to the level of being concerning or require, you know, strong action at this point. Danielle and I have been workshopping improvements to the zoning applications through the town's OpenGov portal to make them less redundant and function more smoothly for residents so that they don't deal with a whole bunch of unnecessary things, just to streamline that. And not really anything to do with staff report necessarily, but I was thinking through sort of the last debrief of the legislative session, and I realized probably the most applicable regulatory change that came out of the session was that the motor vehicle dealers and repairers no longer need certificates of location from the ZBA. They can be handled through this commission and then verified administratively by staff. So that statute was finally fixed after, I don't know, 20 years or whatever it was.
Going back and forth.
Yeah. Some other interesting case law stuff that's pending that may become applicable to us down the road, but I don't think there's anything else from the session that's noteworthy at this point.
Thank you. I don't see anything specific under old business.
Hey, Chair, I do have a question, a follow-up question for Mike.
Go for it.
Okay. This is pertaining about 2 months ago when we had the presentation on the House Bill 6890. I think it was that Live, Ride, Share program. And at the end of that particular presentation, you did show a couple of examples of a couple of development that were running off of septic, but you were hoping to be able to do some additional research on that, see what the capabilities may be surrounding that type of housing underneath that type of program.
Yeah. I haven't put together any other information, and that's on me because Patrice and I talked about it. And I said, I don't think I had anything else I needed to put together. She said, I think you did. And I said, well, I don't think I did. And then I guess I kind of went with that. So if there's, I don't know if you were or we were talking about getting more examples or more information about some of the examples I showed you. I'm happy to work with either. I'm did a presentation actually yesterday for the town of Mansfield because we're talking about high density housing there, and I had a bunch of project examples. Those weren't all septic specific, but you know, I certainly have things I can draw from if you tell me what you think you're most interested in, or remind me what I already committed to that I've been delinquent in providing.
Don't worry, we won't hold the fire to you now.
Reserve that right for later.
Yeah. So I think if recollection serves me correctly, I believe you provided two examples. I think they were three or four unit dwellings. I don't remember specifically, but I mean, what would be the most applicable case of possibility if something like that were to be come to fruition for our town here in Bolton, considering our challenges and our known limitations? I guess what the theoretical threshold, the theoretical limitation of how much we would be able to support and what would be required to accomplish, you know, building those type of dwellings.
Yeah. So I think there were three that are probably the most applicable. There were two in Essex and one in Old Saybrook that had densities that ranged between 17, 23, I think, and something like 12 or 13 units per acre. And all of those developments were on septic. So I'm happy to see if I can just get we also cover the town of Essex. So I can pull that information. Some of them are a little bit older, but let me just see if I can get a data dump of particularly the two that are on the smaller scale. The one in Old Saybrook is quite large. It's like around 200 units, and I don't think we'd probably see something like that here. So let me get a more complete file on the two Essex developments and see what I can pull together for you.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Patrice, Jim Cropley. So CROG doesn't take care of the sewer or the water. Who does the sewer?
I assume it's through the department, through DEEP, or in our case, the sewer is connected to the Manchester sewer. So it goes through there's a regional water pollution control authority that controls who hooks up and how many EDUs they get or they can have, that kind of thing. I mean, CROG's not in control of that at all. Our sewer system was controlled through a federal grant that was they received a federal grant to install it. The federal grant had limiting conditions about expansion for residential use. It did not have limiting conditions for business and commercial use. So that's why we always hear if somebody wants to build a residence or more than one residence in the sewer area, you have to prove that you can support it via septic first, and that would create your number count. I don't know how many more years is left on that grant. For some reason, I think it's at least 7 or 8 before that it's paid off. Once it's paid off, I guess that limitation can go away. I believe Coventry ends up with that same limitation with the extension of the sewer into Coventry, which they recently just agreed upon. And then I guess the other limiting thing that happens is there is capacity. So it's up to the WPCA to be able to say we have the capacity and we can assign it to, you know, whoever wants to pay for that EDU.
So are they thinking of extending it from Bolton Town Line up into Coventry?
They are. They have an agreement to go to, I don't know what it's like the first or second street in, and it's for 48 different parcels. So it was limited. It's not, yeah. It's going all the way down into Coventry. It's just to take care of an area right along 44 and then up a side street. And I don't remember the name of the side street offhand.
But it's interesting, they're pushing us to have more affordable housing, but we really can't do that because of the sewer issue.
Well, I mean, you could still create affordable housing that's not necessarily, it can be, you know, affordable housing can be single family housing. It doesn't have to be apartments. It doesn't have to be condominiums or multifamily housing. It's just how you finance it and how it's either rented or sold and deed restricted. So the problem comes is that land is expensive. So that adds to the cost of it. And you're right, if you don't have sewer and water, it's difficult to make a higher density if you did want to do something other than single family. And that's what Mike was trying to explain, I guess, last time when he showed you examples that were in Essex that they got, you know, quite a bit of density on an acre by doing some maneuvering with the condo line, if you will, and how they prepared for a septic that took more than one unit per acre.
So like, could, if someone bought the property at where the old drive-in theater is, if they wanted to put more, when they came to us years ago, the issue was the septic.
Right.
Why could that development hook into the sewers?
So a couple of things have happened, Jim. My familiarity is the last people that were looking at it wanted quite a few units, over 100 units. They said, although they never actually showed us, that they could meet that density through septic. They said that they did the test holes, they did the calculations that they could do that. They never showed it to us, but they said they could do it. And I guess they went to WPCA to see, you know, how many EDUs WPCA would shake loose for residential zone. It never got any further because I don't think, I think the conversation fell apart based on the engineering for the septic, but it would be a conversation that could be had. The key is whoever buys that property, they've got a certain amount invested into it. And they, you know, there's going to be a threshold that they have to reach for them to make the money work to begin with. And then they'd have to get the approval from WPCA for more than, you know, several EDUs, or it'll be one EDU per dwelling unit. So if you got 50 dwelling units, does the WPCA have 50 EDUs they want to sell and the capacity to sell them? The conversation has never quite got that far, my understanding.
Okay. That I didn't know, because water wouldn't be an issue because they could drill a well and everybody could go off the well, right?
Yep. And they're in an area, they could do a public, community well, right? Community. They could do that. Okay. And there's plenty of water there. They're in the aquifer.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There was one thing I was thinking about, and that was the Connecticut countryside. We have since the summit meeting, we've had a couple of committee meetings. Marilee's brother is from Coventry, and he's in the Grange, so he's very interested in agriculture. So Marilee is on the agriculture committee with him. So I got to hear about that. And I'm on the culture and arts committee, and we had our first meeting, and it was really discussion about mostly about a database and about a brochure and about the website and
getting started.
Getting started, yeah. Okay, and that brings us to 6A, new business application. Zoning regulation amendments to sections 6A14 and 8B2B to amend traditional multiple dwelling complexes for the elderly seniors and allow an NB zone, Michael Bagnacki, number PL-23-4.
Okay, so I'm Mike Bagnacki. I own MTS Builders, built a lot of houses here in Bolton and surrounding towns. Land, number 7, Loomis Road, and it's in the neighborhood business zone. And a while back, maybe as much as a year ago, we had an informal meeting. I'm thinking it was about a year ago because everybody was on Zoom, you know, because of the pandemic. I just kind of floated this idea of maybe making some elderly apartments on that particular parcel. But, you know, due to the constraints of the regulation, that wasn't presently allowed. So I kind of worked with Patrice coming up with some text changes that would be necessary to allow this type of thing. We would need to change the regulation to allow senior housing in the neighborhood business zone.
So if I step in for a second, Mike, basically we have some traditional multiple dwelling complexes for the elderly in the regulations. So we thought we'd first take the elderly out and change it to seniors, be a little more respectful. But there were things in there that we had been looking at even before Mike came along with regards to the changes and allowing for so many units and what have you, and also allowing for some sort of amenity like a gazebo or a walking path or something like that. So the changes he submitted are in red to the break to the existing regulations. And this needs obviously a public hearing. The regulation has to get referred to CROG and the typical text amendment route. The other thing I'm just going to ask Mike, since he's there, I happen to notice it afterwards, but there's a section in here, 6A15, which talks about open space conservation development, multiple dwelling complexes, see section D. And I do know for a fact there is no section D, and the section they're actually referring to is 7A4. And with his permission, I would just like to add that to the amendment that he's presenting, just so it's correct while we're at it here. I don't think it affects the regulation for the senior housing part, but it's on page 6-9 under 6A.15. But this, the regulation basically would allow for smaller series of multiple units for seniors. So it doesn't have to be a huge complex. It can be tucked in here and there in the neighborhood business zone.
And all these units would be one bedroom units, 1,000 square feet. I think there's a big need for this type of thing. And also these, I may be jumping ahead here a little bit, but the idea here is that these are one level units, and in fact, I would be constructing them all essentially to be handicap accessible. So, the bathrooms would be laid out. Showers, all the doors would be 3 foot wide. Entrance door in the front and the exit door in the back would have thresholds and stuff like that. So, it's elderly, with age, comes sometimes, some more needs for kind of thing, at ease of moving around in the house.
Are these condos or apartments?
It would be apartments.
Okay. And how many can you fit
on? In this particular case, it would be six. Presently we have a building approved on that lot, and again, kind of jumping ahead a little, what our thought was there is to have a similar, I think the building was going to be just a hair larger, but the impact of the parking would be much less than what is presently already approved, to use it for a residential situation instead of commercial, essentially right now, either office or retail type uses would be the most strongest possibilities. But as I kind of said when we had our informal meeting, the pandemic taught us that you don't need offices, we can work from home, and also, with the computer stuff, computer shopping and all that, you're going to a place like Evergreen Walk, which is, I would say, one of the premier shopping areas in our vicinity here, newest, and it's no secret there's probably, 25 to 30% vacancy there. So
we were there the other day, my wife pounded.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's about 25 to a third.
Yeah.
Including some big stores.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is the market, and that's, in the most premier area. So the market really isn't crying out for, you know, wanting that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm paying a small amount of taxes on this now, but, you know, if we were to be able to build it out, that would also, you know, create a greater tax base for the town. And again, also fill a need that is probably, it is definitely there.
Tie the rent schedule into affordable housing.
Well,
I don't know what it is at the top of my head.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to put those two things together, you know, because these kind of units are more expensive to build because of the handicap, you know, accessibility and all that.
Maybe somebody can figure out what the limits are.
The
fact that they are going to be handicapped accessible, they're going to be for seniors.
Yeah.
Maybe it worked for you, maybe it wouldn't. Just a thought now, all of a sudden, you're kicking it around.
Right. So, right.
Mike, turned before, that was just, I thought we approved. We didn't make any decisions on that before.
Well, no, we approved the commercial building. That's been approved for several years.
Right, but didn't you come in about putting units in there before?
Yes, we, like I said, we had an informal on that.
Informal.
We need three regulations to accommodate it, Jim.
Okay.
I'm thinking back now. Basically, what we did is kind of had an informal forum, if you will. And then Patrice and Mike and I all talked a little more about, okay, how do we make this actually happen? And this is the avenue that has to be gone down.
So we need to, for a moment, just say yay or nay to move it forward so that
What we're going to do is receive the application and set a public hearing. That's what we're going to do tonight.
Right.
Yeah, that's
fine. And then I think that we were kind of tossing around like how to put this through or propose this, I should say. And, my engineer, Mark Reynolds, said, well, let's put it all together and do it all. I said, that's presumptuous, you know. Let's work through this aspect of it, you know. And then, you know, if we can get this worked out, then we can do our proposal. But I was jumping ahead there a little to kind of show you where my mindset is. But, you know, I don't want to in any way, shape, or form appear to be, you know, presumptuous of that.
Thank you.
So, Mike, I didn't hear you. Do I have your permission to make that one change?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you.
Was there any significant changes on there? I see that the septic thing, which makes all the sense in the world, and just changing elderly to seniors.
It's not prohibited right now. It's not permitted in the neighborhood business zone. You're making a change in the zone. Is that right?
Correct.
That's a big change.
Mm-hmm.
Could go in our R2 zone. Now we're in another zone.
All right. Did you have a motion in the package, or should I make something up?
No, you're receiving. Your next meeting is July 12th. If you want to, I assume Mike can be present on July 12th.
Yes.
Okay.
No problem.
I make a motion that we receive application number PL-23-4 for zoning regulation amendments to section 6A14 and 8B2B to amend traditional multiple dwelling complexes for the elderly seniors and allow in the neighborhood business zone. And to set a public hearing for 7:30 p.m. on July 12th, 2023, either in person or virtual at Bolton Town Hall, 222 Bolton Center Road, Bolton, Connecticut.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Cropley, I second that.
Yes, second the chair and I mean, motion the chair and second Jim Cropley.
I just had one quick question. This is only going to be for rental units, a zone change? Or
we do not specify. We don't specify how it's financed at all. All we can do is say the use.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. If somebody just might come in. So later on, say it passed, or you change your mind, and people come up to you say, hey, by the way, I'd give you $400,000. Full. Yeah. And then, you know, they make an agreement on six apartments. I mean, personally, I don't really care.
No, we don't do apartments. Right. That's right. Okay. Right. Right.
Yeah, because I had a conversation, and generally speaking, about stuff like this with Jim Rupert previously. It might not even have been about this project, but when it comes to being able to sell it or not, it has to do with the type of construction, you know, how the firewalls are built and stuff like that between the units. From what I remember discussing it, yeah.
And an association.
Yeah, well, what if some individual?
Right.
The one other big problem is with the seniors, and I'm all for the seniors housing, I think it's great, that some people abuse it. All of a sudden they got a grandchild in there because they want to go to the school district. And the association has a problem, there's all types of fights on it. And you do appraisals, you meet all different types of people. This is people ask you someone, see, do an appraisal, do they have any kids? I don't know if they have kids, I really don't care, and then they'll tell me about it. But if you have a owner who's a landlord, you can go to the owner who's a landlord and probably have a better chance of somebody who's abusing the rules. Believe me, the rules do get abused. So, but that's for what it's worth, that's maybe for another day.
I think there is something in the regulation that kind of covers that. But I get what you're saying.
Well, the thing is, if somebody's going to play and you want to film this, you know, go see Mike, because on 9 Abbey Road. If not, the association's going to have to fight it. It's not pretty when it goes that way. Right. Just for what it's worth.
Okay, any other discussion? All right, then I'm going to call the roll. Jim Cropley?
Aye.
Steve Clark?
Aye.
Kwan Gordon?
Aye.
Tom Crockett?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Thank you very much.
We're on the 12th.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Good night. And on the next item of business 6B, Bolton Subdivision and Zoning Regulations, you had given us in the packet a number of changes that you were... suggesting, having gone through it?
Nope, I didn't give you anything.
Oh, okay.
This was your memo.
Okay. It was just me. Okay. We had started quite a while ago going through, you know, starting with the definitions and going through page by page. And I went along. But that's not how I would prefer to do it. I would like to see an overarching change to the regulations, not to any of the purposes. In doing this, I'm not trying to change the plan of conservation and development or state law or anything like that. I just think we could accomplish the public interest in the plan of conservation and development better if we had a different structure. And my second point was that no matter what development we want, it's not going to happen if people don't want it. That was what Mike was talking about just now with just one little building. The market changes, desires change, and something you want to build one day, the next day it's going. So the basic idea is that I think I want to turn more of the review over to staff. We have a lot of things that are permitted, but it's only by special permit or something that requires a public hearing. I would prefer most things to be as of right. And you know, if you're going to permit it, you're going to permit it. Need site plan review, but other than that, I don't think it needs a public hearing. And so I've talked about this before, but I think that in Bolton, we only really need two zones. One is the higher, not high, because it's not going to be high. It's just going to be higher density mixed use zone. And then a lower density residential zone. And for instance, right now there's an issue about, you know, whether you can have certain kinds of housing or not in the neighborhood business zone. Well, if we just had one mixed use zone that encompassed our business, industrial, neighborhood business, all those zones were just one zone, and whatever, and just permit throughout those multiple dwelling units. And then in the residential zone, allow up to a fourplex, up to four units on a lot. And then for complexes, that would need a special permit because that's something people are going to want to talk about. And I think the rest of it could just be, for the most part, could be handled by staff. And one of the reasons that I'm concerned about that is, as we were talking at the beginning, you know, before this meeting opened, about how hard it is to get candidates to run for the various boards. And one of the reasons is it's a lot of work. Well, if we think it would be a little bit easier to find people for planning and zoning or the Zoning Board of Appeals, if more of the work was on the staff. And that's because that's the way that's the way it's been going almost my whole life in Bolton. And so that's what I'm anticipating. And so the idea was instead of just going through page by page and saying, oh, does this refer to the right section? And if we actually define the term that we're using here, and I think those are good things to do. But I think the bigger question is, what are we trying to do with the regulations? And so there's a little more to my memo than that, but this is to get a discussion started, and we don't have to go to nine.
Yeah, the only thing, Tom, is like, the thing that would concern me is some of that is that, you know, I'm just thinking of the industrial zone. I mean, if we have an industrial zone and we allow housing in there, and all of a sudden the industry that's there is, are they going to have to change what they're doing because there's now residential there and those people are complaining? I mean, that's what we have at the quarry where Billy Phillips, I mean, those people are all concerned about the noise level and the trucks going up and down the road. But yet that quarry, I believe, was there before a lot of those houses were. So I would have a little concern about including the, at least as I read it today, unfortunately, I didn't read it earlier, your memo. But as I was reading that, I'm thinking like, okay, the industrial zone, I think has to be different. Because that's also going to go into part like the industrial zone is if someone wants to put a, I don't know, I'm going to call it a pot farm, but isn't that something that would go in an industrial zone? Well, I'm just saying, right. If that came through and we allowed that, or someone did build one and all of a sudden, you know, we build a, you know, senior center down the street, you know, and the fumes, I mean, we don't, you know what I'm, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I would be a little concerned of being too general. And I also, I mean, I understand that it's hard to get candidates for positions, but I don't think we should dummy our lives down in a town like this because we can't fill positions. I mean, I personally think a lot of stuff should be handled by staff. I think some of the stuff we get and some of this, I mean, the staff that we have, I think, is very competent at this point in time. And, you know, I would feel very comfortable any decisions they made. And I don't really have the knowledge or the experience to say different to them. So I think that is a good point. But I think that I think we have to be careful of the zones. That's all I have to say.
Okay, are you willing, so the question is a different way, are you willing to enter into this kind of a discussion and then take the specific issues up piecemeal?
Yeah, I mean, I personally think our whole zoning regulation book is terrible. I mean, if I go to look something up, I can't even find it, so I just get frustrated. So I think anything we could do to make it simpler and easier and have some things, I mean, you know, I think like changing the zoning regulation to taking it from elderly and adding seniors, if that's all we're, you know, I know we're doing more than that, but to take a public hearing to do that, and we know what's going to happen, no one's going to show up. So I think some of those modifications should be done just, I think some of that stuff should be done by staff. And you know what, in 5 years, we're probably going to have to change all the terminology again because of the, you know, our world evolves and, you know, I don't know. We've tried to do regulations page by page and we never get them done. So I think the staff could make all the recommendations they want. You know, I don't think we can give the staff all the authority, but I sure think we could give them a lot more authority.
Well, they'd have to enforce the regulations. They couldn't make it up out of their own heads. That's not the point.
Regulations.
Yeah.
I think make our regulations more user friendly and more staff friendly. Because, you know, as we, you know, if boards are going to be filled and we're not getting, you know, I'm a landscaper. I know what I do. I know plants. I know soils. I know that really well. But when someone starts talking about, you know, water runoff and perk tests, I have no clue where the staff does. So I think some of that stuff, you know, and as we get people, you know, we've had engineers on these boards and all this other stuff. But I think really the ultimate should go to the staff and to the applicant. I mean, if the application fees more to have more stuff done, then that's what they have to do. But I mean, I think if we're not getting, you know, if we're having a hard time getting people on these boards, maybe if we lessen the work by having more staff, I shouldn't say that because the town would probably go crazy hiring more staff. But I just think some of that stuff should be out of our hands. I don't think we're professional enough to
to do some of that stuff. Did that answer your question?
Thank you, Jim. Tom, what do you think?
I think it should be simplified a lot more. Okay. Like Jim was saying, you try to look something up in the book and it's like, you could spend an hour looking for something that is in an obscure location. It's like, what? I think that part should be simplified.
Okay.
I think he's right about, you gotta be careful about the industrial zone and residential zone.
Okay.
That would be, I could see that being a nightmare, but I'd be up for going through this and figuring out what way we could simplify it. And like Jim was saying, staff is a lot more knowledgeable than myself on a lot of this stuff also, as far as engineering, you know, that's, it really should be brought to a higher level, which is them. So.
Well, just a reminder, the engineering gets farmed out to the town engineer who's under contract, and the applicant pays for that.
Right.
Yeah. Tom Crockett.
I wouldn't mind if staff came back with a few ideas and comparable sized towns with comparable possible problems like lack of sewer, ledge, and so on and so forth, population, like Wilmington, Andover, you know, smaller towns, and even if they're out Litchfield County, but yeah, well, I don't know, maybe they're, but they're, maybe we could get a look at that and see what's get a consensus, what works well in those towns, and could that work for Bolton? But, you know, being in the real estate business 50 years, it's been hard to do business in Bolton. That can't disagree with. Nothing against Patrice or Mike. Probably before both of them were born, that was going on. Anyways, and I think the reputation is, it or not, it's probably well deserved in the past. But you know, I don't have a problem looking at it. I do have a problem, though, with reducing the road width too much. I've never, where I am, people are walking all the time. We're on Birch Mountain Road, up, down, everything else. I try to explain to people that a walk a mile where I live is like walking a mile and a half. But the cars go whipping by. So I'm not in favor of that at all. I mean, it's good everybody walks and some kids ride the bikes and so on and so forth, but I've never been a big fan of narrow roads. And sometimes you run up against bushes because people don't cut back where you're going to jump to. And a lot of times you just stop and people have dogs that have to stop. And it seems like everybody's got dogs at home too. So not in favor of that right off the top, but I wouldn't mind seeing what some of the other towns are doing. I mean, I've looked at some of them through work throughout the years. So on and so forth, but you know, I never thought I'd be here at age 73, but here I am. So but that's maybe that's not something we could do. Take a look at and see what's what. I mean, I'm not really in favor before family going into our best neighborhoods either. I mean, if somebody's got a vacant lot and they sell with it and they're gonna move to Florida and they didn't care and they can maximize the vacant lot by putting a four family, but they got houses are selling for $600,000-$700,000. I got a real problem with that. I mean, that would be ugly. Let's say real ugly, real ugly. If someone came in with permission to put a four family in one of our neighborhoods, down here behind them, move off to the lane out of there. I don't even know there's a vacant lot there. But I mean, as far as that goes, but then you get a whole thing with tenants and so on and so forth. I don't know, but that's my thought. I don't have any problem with that. I think it's probably a good idea. If we can help the town, great.
So we spent all kinds of time going through the first part of that book.
And did those ever get implemented? And where do we find them? So we never really went anywhere, right? All the changes are just somewhere? Okay.
It was just waiting for...
So we're still working on the old book with the old rules, right or wrong, different. So. Yes, something needs to happen. That was a lot of changes, and the verbiage was all mixed up, and it could have been straightened out. And I think the industrial thing kind of has to stay industrial, only because we're so limited in the amount of industrial. If you start giving it away, there's no chance you're going to get industry. Not that you're going to get huge, but you hate to throw that into the wrong package. But most of the other stuff, yeah, I mean, circumstances, the road shrinking, well, depends on how many houses there are. If there's four houses, then that's one thing. If there's 100 houses, that's another thing, you know. So it'd be a great thing to look at. Yeah, I think we do ourselves a lot of justice.
Come on.
Yeah, I sort of agree with what the statements have been already made by other members. So I really don't have any additional value added to input, but I will say if there's opportunity, you know, going through the regulations to condense some of the verbiage, some of these clauses, because I do see some redundancies and some layover, shared layover between the zones. So I think there is potential opportunity, and I definitely would like to take some time to actually go through it myself personally to actually bring myself a little bit more up to speed to where I am now for that discussion.
Thank you. Steve Clark.
Yeah, I think I would probably take a similar position in that I don't think I have enough experience or knowledge of the situation to really form an opinion at this point. I would probably want to investigate a little bit further and have a little bit more understanding of what's being asked before I take a position.
And what do our staff members think?
You want me to go first or you want to go first?
How about it, Mike?
I mean, I think that as I mentioned when I was talking about some of the stuff we were reviewing earlier, some of the other work we do is zoning reg rewrites and comprehensive updates, and we're doing one for Mansfield right now. The first thing we did is we identified and agreed upon an organization. So we identified sections that we wanted to move, sections we wanted to combine, and we came up with a draft table of contents to make sure the document flowed. The goal there was to take all of the criteria that pertained to residential development and put it in one section, all of the criteria that pertained to commercial development, put it in another section, so that you aren't going from section 3 to section 8 to section 10 to figure out what you can do, how the site has to be designed, what the application criteria is, what the special standards are. We combined it all. Then we moved into identifying the non-negotiable changes, the things that statute and case law say need to be done. Off the bat, I mean, the sign regs in Bolton are like 150 miles away from where they're supposed to be per statute. So it's not worth spending a month or 12 talking about whether or not we think this use should have this or this use should have that, because statute says we can't regulate the content of signs. So we wanted to be efficient. And so we got rid of the non-negotiables first. And we kind of from there moved into topics rather than going by section. We said, okay, we're going to tackle multifamily housing. We want to tackle small lot zoning, riparian corridors, whatever it is. But we're going to go by topic, because it feels like it's easier to have a discussion about an issue rather than looking at section 12 on page 596. That's all I got.
And I would only add, go ahead, sorry.
Sounds good, I like it.
Mike and I discussed this briefly, Tom, the other day, but I mean, I think he and I could sit down and check off the number of things we would feel comfortable doing with a site plan approving versus the things that we think should go to the commission for special permit. I don't think everything should be as of right. There would be a few things that you would want public hearings on or whatever, but I think certainly it wouldn't be everything that exists. It seems like everything requires a special permit. That would be the first thing that would be easily addressed in my mind. The second thing is to cut out some of the regulations. You've got a whole section on site plan, and it depends on what zone you're in, and then for special permit, all the other stuff that could all be combined into this is the minimum you need. If you're doing X, Y, and Z, then you need to add this. If you're doing, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, then you need to add this. I think it could be a lot more condensed, easily gone through, almost like a checklist kind of thing that somebody could go through easily and say, all right, I've identified, I've done this, 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 and this. Those are the 10 things I needed to do to get my site plan. Now I'm going to apply and we're good to go. I just think there's a lot easier way to do it. I think the way Mike was talking about attacking it is a good step-by-step way to do that. I don't live in Bolton. I do have a fondness for the town, just not only from working here, but coming to Bolton as a child when I was living in Manchester. We had friends in Bolton. I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice by changing around the zones like you were talking about to two zones. I think you sort of need to keep some semblance of what you've got for zoning because it's predictable. People have spent money to live where they live because of zoning and what they have there. And when you do start changing around things like that, you tend to start making things, creating a non-conforming nightmare. And we don't want to do that or burden the town or the homeowners with that kind of thing. And I'm not so sure that your plan of conservation and development actually supports doing that either. So that might be a two-pronged test to do that. I think you might want to try and focus on narrowing down the regulations, making them more user-friendly, making them more easy to understand, making them easier for the staff and for the commission and for the applicants, and start there. And then if that goes well and things are going well, then maybe looking at the zones and seeing if there's a way to tweak things so that you either add or subtract from the zones that you have.
Jim Cropley, Mike, so you're doing that for Mansfield?
We are, yep.
So, I mean, this is probably a dumb question, but so do you charge the town of Mansfield to do that?
A ton. Yeah.
We have, yeah, millions and millions. We actually bid and won the project early COVID, and we put it on pause because of that, and then they've gone through some staff changes, but we're doing that as a project. So we don't provide, although we have, we're not providing like staff support, right? I'm not functioning as a member of their staff. We're doing this as a, in a more traditional consultant relationship where we're being hired to complete a project. And in this case, it's a comprehensive zoning regulation revision.
So is that something that we have to do, or do we do it ourselves, or can we get money to do that so we move this project along and not have it hang around? I mean, I don't know. How do we get to go there now?
I think that the conversation that we're having now makes the commission the quarterback in the time frame and going through the process as a group. And then we would, as staff, you know, work to support and provide changes and guidance and feedback and all of those things, but it would be part of your, you know, sort of meeting schedule.
So you just talked yourself out of $1 million.
I sure did, because I'm just that nice of a guy.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I didn't know if they were, you know, if they're paying for that. If we need, Patrice, do we need more? Do we need money to do this, or can staff do this?
I would say that, you know, between the two of us, I would handle being that staff person. I'm there more than Mike is. And then certainly Mike can work on the project as part of what he does for Bolton. Would you agree with that, Mike? I don't want to put words in mouth, but so, yeah. So, I mean, I think we could start trying it that way, using the meetings to dedicate, you know, half hour or whatever we need per meeting, just to go over what we've got done and see how it goes. It's not that difficult if you are agreeing on sort of the roadmap to get there.
Yeah. I mean, again, I pick up that book and I get so frustrated because I don't bring it to meetings anymore, because I go to look something up, and as soon as I would look it up, what I thought was there, Adam would find something in page, you know, 600 that was totally different. And I think it is confusing. I'm all for, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, but I think we should have it simple, user-friendly, and then maybe people would be able to understand it more.
Well, yep. What would the overall picture be?
I think that the next step, we've had a discussion.
Yeah.
Everybody's had a chance to say something.
Yeah.
Staff has heard it. If I talk with Patrice, I think we can come back at the next meeting with an outline of how to proceed on this.
Mm-hmm.
That's agreeable to what people have talked about tonight.
When you're done with this, there may still be legal fees to review it before you print it, I would think.
Well, we can figure those things out on the way. Yeah.
Well, I just all of a sudden throwing money at it.
Well, it's,
which is fine.
You know, we're not going to spend it this year anyway, and by the time the budget season comes up in October, we should have something if there was.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Would it make sense, and just hear me out, would it potentially make sense to have a subcommittee meet with or work with Patrice and Mike on this?
Tom just agreed to be one.
Well, yes. If I think two or three members to do that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I was going to suggest that... maybe we start out with just trying to carve out some time at each meeting and yeah. go from there. And then if we find we feel we need to do a subcommittee, then move into that. But I think we could dedicate some time to this at each meeting without an issue.
Yeah, we've done a subcommittee with the first year I was there. And the problem is the subcommittee came up with something. We brought it to the full membership and they hated it.
Right, and that can be an issue. So.
And so we started right back at square one. And then we got the signing regulations in there. And that's the same process that, you know, people just started getting involved and we didn't really know, they didn't really understand the whole concept of it. So I think the staff should prepare it, and I think we should review it and make our suggestions and simplify it. That's my feeling. But I mean, you can have a subcommittee. I know when I was on it the last time, it was a waste of our time.
Okay, so I'll be talking with Patrice, and we'll come back with a plan. The Regional Planning Commission meeting is tomorrow. If anybody, there's one segment that's called In My Town, and where I tell them what's going on here. If there's anything that anybody thinks I ought to tell other than the what we did with cannabis, then, you know, just send me a message and I'll tell them. Any correspondence?
I have no correspondence.
Well, that means it's you, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
And Tom Robbins seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 The meeting is adjourned at 8:40. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Have a good night.
You guys too.
Night.